You're just sarcastic. Maybe that's why Elena doesn't have her wings. She's too, like, earnest.
She's too nice and wimpy. She needs to be more...
You want to have your wings, you have to have sarcasm.
Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. This week, we'll be discussing 2005's Barbie, Fairytopia.
Ooh.
I just want to preface this by saying this was never one of my favorite Barbie movies, but rewatching it, it has grown on me.
Yeah.
I agree. I watched it with Lily and we were both like, oh, not super excited about it. But at the end, we were like, that wasn't as bad as I remember.
I think like we had been talking about it, but because the Fairytopia, like the entire, like, I guess the Fairytopia trilogy, as you will, were like the dolls that were being sold when we were younger. I had so many of them that I think I've just had this weird, like, nostalgic love for it. Even if I don't love the movies, I'm like, but they are the Fairytopia Barbies and I will die for them because they're great. And yeah, I enjoy, I don't think the first Fairytopia is my favorite of the trilogy, but they're fine. It's good. It did its job. It sold dolls.
Yeah. I mean, Remedia. Prince Nalu.
I know, like the 5 seconds of Prince Nalu we have in this movie, I'm like, let's just play that over and over again.
All right, girls, take it away.
With the plot summary?
Yes, summarize the plot.
Oh, okay. So, we enter on Elena. Elena is a fairy who lives in the magical realm of Fairytopia, which is where fairies live. You wouldn't guess that by the name, but it is where they live. Now, Elena is sad and distraught because she has no wings, which makes her technically not a fairy, but I guess, sure, she's a fairy. Anyways, she also has a demonic puffball that is her friend named Bibble. Bibble is a creature from the deep realms and scares me and haunts my nightmares and is my sleep paralysis demon. That's unrelated and not in the plot, but I thought it should be mentioned here. So when his name is mentioned, we know what we're talking about. The kind of creature of destruction that is here. Anyways, so everyone makes fun of Elena because she doesn't have wings. And she's just like, oh, gosh darn, that sucks for me. And she has a friend who's like named Dandelion, who's there at the beginning. But then she disappears halfway through. But her and Dandelion are just living their good life. But then someone's like, crap is going bad. Oh, the little pixie things. They're like, everything's going bad. Fairies are being snatched. You should get out of here. Your fairy guardian thing, Topaz, she's gone. Or so you're all next. And they're like, that's whatever. I think it's all fine. So Elena goes back to her peony house, which is like a living sentient being that she lives within. And she goes to bed. But we cut to showing that Topaz really has been kidnapped by Laverna, who is the evil twin sister of Fairytopia's benevolent ruler, the Enchantress. Now, Laverna is evil. You can tell that because she is wearing dark colors, a lot of eyeliner, and her hair is green. Key symbols that someone is the evil villain. And she also gave Topaz snacks, which I think is nice that she prepared for guests to come. So she has some snacks waiting. So she's always so evil because being a good house guest and being a good hostess is just never a bad thing. Villains do it, so everyone can do it. Where was I? Anyways, she has some plan and she poisoned her sister and it's bad. So she's going to kidnap all the fairy guardians, which by the way, there are fairy guardians and Topaz is one of them. And she has fungi minions who are just creepy little goblin things, but they're called the fun guys because they're fun guys. She's going to have them spread this formula that all over Fairytopia, which is going to make everything that can fly, all flying creatures, ill. And it's bad. So that she does that. And Lavernia's like, ha, 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 queen shall die. I will be the next in line as I am the twin and I will take power. So it's all going good. So we cut back to Elena. She wakes up by her peony singing to her, which again, living, breathing entity that she lives within. Not weird, I guess, in this universe. And they figure out that all these Peony and all the fairy homes are, they're ill. They're sick because of Lavernia's weird stuff. And so she goes to Dandelion and is like, hey, we need to go find another guardian named Azura. And they try to do that, but Dandelion gets sick, so has to leave halfway through the film. So Dandelion sucks, not a good character. She is not willing to commit to the quest. But Elena, because Elena is useless, I guess it turns out to be her superpower, because she doesn't get impacted by the flying thing because she can't fly. So I guess really, joke's on all the flying creatures. So Elena just and Bibble continue on their good way to Azura's house. And Azura at first is like, no, I don't want to talk to you. But then they break in and, you know, commit a crime. And Azura's like, oh, okay. You have a rainbow in your eye, which I guess is something. And I guess because her eyes shoot out rainbows. I don't know. It's not clear how you get this. She was like, sure, I trust you. We can have a convo. This is when it gets, okay. And she's like, Elena, you've got rainbows in your eyes. You're going to be great. And she's like, no, I won't be. And that's it. That's kind of their conversation. So she knows. So Azura tells them that Fairytopia is in trouble because of Laverna. And she has to go speak to somebody who used to be Laverna's like buddy, Dahlia, who is now longer, you know, she was in a cult, but then she got out of the cult. It's good. And there, but first they all have to take a nap, which is good. And then before Azura goes, she gives Elena her magic necklace. These become important, although I noted that they're not always animated on the Guardians, which makes it inconsistent, but that's not the point. So she gives Elena the magic necklace. And that next morning, right as Azura is about to leave, one of the fungi come and kidnap her and take her to Laverna. And then Elena wakes up and is accused by this very creepy elderly fairy man that she, I guess, kidnapped Azura, which doesn't make sense. But you know what? We got no time for this. So Elena flies off and meets the world's most disturbing creature, Hugh, who is told to be a large butterfly. But if you saw Hugh, he's like some monstrous mix of man and butterfly that Frankenstein himself could not have created. He is a nightmare. He is also a demon. I guess he met Bibble in hell and they rose together to infiltrate this movie. But anyways, he helps out Elena and helps her get away.
Need some water after that.
Anyways, so cut back to the lair of Laverna, and the fungi arrive with Azura, and her and Laverna have some like fun banter. But Laverna's like, "Where's your necklace?" And Azura's like, "I don't wear it all the time. It clashes with my eyes," which doesn't make sense. Your eyes are blue and the necklace is blue and your entire costume is blue. And that line just really ticked me off when she said it. Don't be like this, Azura. It's not the time for jokes. So then the fungi says that a flightless fairy had it. And obviously that's Elena. So Laverna gets these like firebird things to hunt Elena down. But Hugh and Elena, which by the way, Elena is riding on Hugh. And she's like, it's so amazing to know what it is to fly. And I just don't like that. I don't like any of their interactions. Anyways, they pop in to this like, what do you call those things? I don't know. They go down to a lake of sorts and they meet the world's handsomest merman, Prince Nalu. Let me tell you, Nalu is covered in ladies and he knows his day is good. He's just chilling out by that lagoon, having a good old swim, covered in seaweed with his mer ladies. But his day is horribly ruined by a monstrosity that is Hugh and Lady Elena, which, by the way, Nalu likes what he sees, but he realizes no time to flirt because there are firebirds. But Hugh says, oh, don't worry, they won't come by water. Guess what, Hugh? You are an idiot. So by being terrified, you are also dumb because they are birds. They're not going to go into the water. They can just fly above, something Elena has no concept of because she cannot fly. Anyways, Nalu just throws seaweed at them and says, eat this seaweed, eat it. And he's like, just eat the seaweed, which normally if a man is throwing something strange at you and saying, eat it, don't do it. But in this one instance, it was a useful thing as now they can breathe underwater and they go deep within the sea to escape the firebirds. So why they do that, they pop out just conveniently enough near Dahlia's home. And she's just like, hey, Dahlia, help me. And Dahlia's like, no. And she's like, come on. And then she's like, no. And she's like, you got to do it. Be a good person. And Dahlia's like, fine. And so they go to Lavernia's place. And exposition time. Dahlia's like, oh, yeah, Laverna figured out a way to suck all the fairy guardians' powers from their necklaces and transfer them to her. But you can destroy it because I guess you just have to build in a weak point to your device, which is just like a very strange thing that Dahlia knows this. Like, oh, yeah. And then Laverna told me very specifically in case she wanted me to destroy it. This, like, I just want to know what that conversation was like. Doesn't matter. So they get to Laverna's lair and they're trying to go in, but Elena's like, I'm going to go by myself because I have the necklace and I don't want you guys to be in trouble. So the rest of them just do hijinks to distract the fungi, and Elena gets inside and she finds all the guardians just sitting in chairs, which I guess is an evil plan of sorts and, you know, whatever. And Laverna goes up to Elena and sees that and tries to get the necklace, but then she sees the rainbow in Elena's eye. He's like, you have a rainbow. You're special. I know what it's like to be special. She doesn't have this accent, but I've just decided she does in my recreation. Elena, join me, and I can give you these creepy green wings that look like they're rotting, because I'm also different. Come on, Elena. And Elena, you think is going to turn. She glazes over with all the power that Laverna can power give her. Finally, she will be respected in the fairy community, and she can take revenge on these people who have made her life a nightmare since she was young because of a deformity she had no control over. And so you think in this final moment that this is going to be the plot twist of plot twist. Barbie loses. She turns evil. The tension could not be any higher. Ah! But then she sees Azura's eyes, and she knows, no, I shall not be evil. And she turns away, and as the rainbows are spurting from the necklace, she destroys the machine. Sparkles, 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 rainbow glitter everywhere. It's insane. Laverna has been defeated again. The guardians destroy her, and she vanishes. Anyways, they cut back to the magic meadow, and everything's good because all the fairies and the flowers are cured. Everyone's happy again. Elena is also there with her friends. And then the enchantress, who has only been mentioned since and is in charge of everything, but she's been kind of dying. She finally comes back, and she's like, Elena, thank you. You are amazing. You have saved us. And so here's a magic necklace. But this magic necklace is not just any ordinary magic necklace. And I say that because there are tons of magic necklaces. They seem to be just be given out at random in this universe. But this magic necklace gives us Elena wings! Finally! Elena! And these wings don't look old and decrepit like the ones she was going to be given by Laverna. They look good. They fit her. And they're better than everyone else's. So finally, the movie ends with the great moral that sometimes you've got to do stuff, but then you'll end up being better than everyone else and you can rub it in their faces. The end.
That was a dramatic retelling of Barbie Fairytopia by Gelsey.
I thought that was just as interesting, if not more interesting, than the movie.
Honestly, you don't need to watch it now.
I just watched it.
That was enough for me.
Wow.
One thing I noticed about the plot that I didn't realize, and maybe we did talk about it in the movie, but why isn't Bibble affected by the flying stuff?
Because Bibble is a demon. He's not a creature of that realm. He's of a deep beneath. Nothing can kill him.
I just don't get it. Maybe I guess that's it. That's gotta be it.
I feel like that's the only thing. Didn't
need to poison him because he was already on her side.
Yeah, he already is evil. You can't make him any more evil. I guess he's more like, I would call him more like a chaotic neutral in the fact that he is chaos incarnate, but he has no side. He just happens to have befriended Elena, who just happens to be on the side of good in this movie. But if he had befriended anybody, he would just be rooting for their side because he has no moral compass.
I would love to see the Dark Bibble movie. That would be very entertaining to me.
I very much want to see the Dark Bibble movie.
Bibble versus Bibble.
Yeah,
like, I want to see Bibble, Lady Bibble, Anu, and Z in like a Hunger Games style fight to the death.
I see Dark Bibble as just being regular Bibble, but with like his like puffy hair like spiked into a mohawk and then some eyeliner.
Like Anu's Dark Bibble.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll meet these other puffball characters later in the Fairytopia series.
And they're all equally as disturbing.
I love Bibble so much. And we were looking up some Bibble merchandise last week. And
oh, yeah, on Redbubble.
Yeah, on Redbubble. And I think a lot of people would think, like, I'm very tempted to buy, like, a t-shirt that says, like, there's one that said Bibble Lover, which I think is hilarious, but too many people would think that it said Bible Lover, and it was in a weird font, and they'd be like, I mean, I guess I've never really heard it phrased that way before, but good for you.
I think if you, like, are, like, so infatuated with Bibble to the point that you would wear a t-shirt proclaiming your love to the public of him, that I don't know. I think you need, in many ways, I feel like that's a cult. Like, I think it's a cult of Bibble. He is a cult leader.
Well,
the phrase Bibble Lover just reminds me too much of, like, The Office when Michael creates his username that's like Little Kid Lover.
Yes.
Sounds weird. That's the connotation I'm getting.
I think there is a Bibble cult, though, because we were looking on the Wikipedia page for Barbie Fairytopia. Someone edited Bibble's character description. I mean, I think, according to Gelsey, this is canon, but...
This is canon.
It reads, okay,
really Bibble, watched the movie.
Elena's pet puffball. He is known as the Commander of Death. His friendly form is identifiable by his iconic blue fur and pink tufts. However, his form when encountering enemies was demonstrated by a large ray of red amongst darkness in the film, as the producers wished to emphasize the terror contained within his burly frame. Now again, this is only canon in Gelsey's version of events. No,
actually, my one thing is I believe that his evil form is his blue and pink form. I believe he has no good form. I think he is in constant state of being a god who has just decided he will not smite everyone down, but make sure that they know that he can. I want somebody to have a Bibble translator, because I'm sure those verbs are not friendly words. I'm sure they're like, you Nia fairies, I can crush you in my tiny puffy hands.
Bibble's a character that anyone can do an impression of.
It is true. Everyone can be Bibble. At home, studio audience, do your own Bibble impression. Now, if you say his name too many three times in a mirror, he will appear. He has many ways like Bloody Mary, but this one is much more dangerous, as Bibble will destroy you.
He demands tea parties and oddly shaped pastries as penance
and blood sacrifice.
Face your wrath.
Tea, pastries, and blood. Those are the three things that Bibble is sustaining off of.
Well, I think because Bibble kind of received some, like, mainstream popularity in the last couple of years. He was memed a lot. Screaming with flames, yes. I love Bibble. I love Bibble so much, but I want to also talk about my second favorite character in the film, Laverna.
Oh, gosh, she's such a bae.
What a villain. We don't give her enough credit.
I'm teen Laverna. Like, honestly, I was like, you should just, yeah, you should be in charge. The Enchantress seems to be a bad ruler. So, and you have cool hair.
Yeah, I like that her aesthetic was, like, cacti, and her minions had, like, pants with, like, spikes on them that looked like cacti. And her, like, evil firebird minions, the flying ones, had, like, stink sacks that looked like cacti. I just like the idea that cacti are, like, an evil flower, and so the opposite of the good fairy flowers are just cacti.
Yeah, of course. That adds up. Look, I live in the desert. Cacti are evil. They're constantly plotting to destroy you. You hear it.
I will warning us of all the evils in the world.
Yeah, look, I am here as a prophet trying to tell you of all the evil that could come. I believe that Barbie Fairytopia is a forewarning of the future that will come. Like, see me in, like, 5 years, like, I'm on the side of the highway with, like, a cardboard sign, like, Fairytopia is the truth. See, read in between the lines. But actually, she's not that evil if you think about it, because as I cannot reiterate enough, her evil plan literally, so like, she does kidnap these people, but then she gives them a chair and treats, and they just have like witty banter for us like days on end, and like it seems to be like a casual party, which is not really evil. Like, she could have tortured them or like something, but she's really just like, well, you're in my house now, here's some tea, here's some buttermilk, here's some cookies I made, and that's it. And no, they're horrible guests because they're just mean to her nonstop. She is feeding you and taking care of you, and they're like, man, Lavuna, you suck so much. Like, she could be worse.
Yeah, is there anything restraining them in their chairs, or are they just chilling?
There's like one scene where Ruby, who is like the only male fairy that I could see, there might have been another dude in that chairs, but I didn't notice, he didn't have a character. But there's like one thing where he like seems like he gets up and there's like a force field, but I don't think that's permanent because I think he's trying to attack her and she like blocks it, so it's not very clear. But I don't think there is anything restraining in them. I think they just don't want to like to deal with the cactus. They're like, well, we're in a cactus and I don't want to like go through the trouble of getting out of it, so I guess we'll just stay here.
Yeah, they don't seem to be very powerful.
No, I guess that's why you need all of them to have any sort of power.
Yeah, and Topaz did not seem loyal to her cause at all. I don't want to be in the place where she's guarding, because she was just hanging out with Laverna like, oh, can I have some more cookies? Like,
Topaz was like, I like, at least Ruby, he like put up a little bit of a like fight. I think what's interesting here, it seems really also easy to kidnap these people. Like, they're supposed to be, you know, guardians, so I assume they would have some kind of, like, skill set to give that, but they all kind of, like, literally, like, the Azura just gets grabbed, and it's, like, time to go, like, okay? Like, this is what you do? I don't know.
Yeah, if it's, like, a power-based meritocracy that these people or fairies are allowed to rule over their little kingdom or town or whatever, how are they so easily kidnapped?
Yeah, it's so strange. I don't know.
I think the whole sickness was kind of an excuse for them to not have to animate many more characters in this universe, or like the ones that they did could just be like lying there sick.
Rip.
There's nothing. I mean, it's just every scene is just like one giant kind of plant just like over and over again. And then they go to a new place and now it's trees or now. Yeah. Underwater, but it's, or now they're in an evil place, and so the couple gave me a note from Azura.
I'm to keep you safe and take you where you want to go.
Creatures until they have someone to interact with, no other people unless they're talking to them. It feels very barren and creepy.
Well, like, I feel like this go into like the bad animation, like, topic of this film, because like, if you think, like, Barbie movies can barely get hair to not look disturbing, so I don't know why they try to do flight, because the flight in this movie does not look good. It looks like just stock characters being moved up and down. It's very strange, and it's very clear, like, with what Lily is going out, is that they had, like, one image that they slightly altered to make it look different terrains, but it's just not very good. It's just, I don't know. And also, for a world that seems to have, like, a lot of lore, at least what they're talking, it's very empty. Like, there's not a lot of things around. Like, there's just tons of space. There's not a lot of fair. I don't know. It's very strange.
You know, one thing, or another bad animation, or maybe I just didn't like the characters, but those little elf troll things, the twins that rhyme.
The nightmares that haunt our dreams.
Yeah, I don't like, Bibble, like, doesn't bother me too much, but he's definitely not my favorite at all. But those troll things, like, I was, like, squirming watching them. They're, like, little, they look like,
so bad.
Little, like, those little Precious Moment toddlers, but, like, if someone who had no experience with drawing did them, or, like, computer animation, and they, like, sang and danced and rhymed, and I was just, like, not for it.
Yeah, I hadn't watched this movie since I was, like, younger. Like, we rewatch Barbie movies as a group periodically for fun. This is, you know, you never rewatch Fairytopia. You watch Mermaidia or something. And I had zero recollection of these. Like, I vaguely remember Dahlia and Hugh, the Guardians, yada yada. But I wiped these terrifying nightmare creatures from my brain. There's only, like, two pictures of them that exist on the internet that you can find. Because... no one wants to look at the happy trolls. Google at your own demise.
Yeah. I just looked it up again. I'm like, yeah, they do look like someone tried to replicate the Precious Moment dolls, but it failed horribly.
It is wrong. It's so wrong. They're horrible. They're little hats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess they were making like these little Fairytopia like plastic eggs with mini dolls. So they had mini fairy dolls and mini mermaid dolls and the mini troll dolls. And they only popped up to like show Barbie where Dahlia's door was, so they could like sell it as merchandise. But I honestly think it must have backfired because they're so scary. I don't know why anyone would want to own those terrifying little nightmare things.
Yeah, like most of these things, like I think that is what's strange about this series, because I think a lot of the dolls that were sold with the Fairytopia like line were not within the films. Because I was looking through them, and the dolls that I remember owning that are Fairytopia branded dolls, which are just like fairy Barbie dolls, they weren't characters. Whereas before, we've seen in these films, like it's very much every character has a doll and you know, have your variations. It's like they were like, they liked the idea of fairies, but they didn't want to make dolls for the creepy little things they created. So you didn't get them. I don't know. Because other than Elena, and I guess you'd have the guardians, although I don't really feel like any like the male guardians had dolls, I would imagine, but and I guess same with Laverna, and I guess the Enchantress. So like it's just hard to see what the marketing here was for other than just wanting to make fairy Barbie dolls, so they needed some sort of fairy property to put them under, which I guess was what happened. But like, you know, with the side characters, nobody wants those creepy trolls. Nobody wants a Hugh doll. If somebody tried to give me a Hugh doll, I would never speak to that person again. I would cut them out of my life. Bridge burned. Present me with the disturbing image of Hugh, and I will never contact you again. You are dead to me.
Well, they did make like a Hugh toy, yeah. And they had Honey, who rode him. She was like a child, but he doesn't look anything like his counterpart in the movie. He looks like a fluffy pet, and he was not a fluffy pet. He has the voice of an old British man, but the a blue like baby face where he looks like a child, and he has those big butterfly wings and like a human body, and then he has like a little suit with a collar and these boots, but there's no. You don't understand how he could be wearing his suit jacket because there's wings coming out of it, so it must just be part of his body. And after wearing all those clothes, he's just not wearing pants, you know?
He's just full
crotch.
No full pants. Crotch, being rid by women. I don't like what it's implying. Also, they had a Dahlia doll, and she looked really cool. That's unrelated. I just was looking this way, looking at the
doll. Yeah, they had a Laverna one, too, and I was like, oh, sweet. Okay. That looks pretty sick. Yeah, Hugh looks a lot more appealing in toy form.
Yeah, his little like I don't hate the toy. Like that looks actually kind of fun. Like it's like a magical kind of creature. Whereas the Hugh in the movie is you're not really sure. Is he an animal? Is he a man? Is he some sick mix of both? Which I believe he is. I don't like it.
I think the greatest misstep here was using like a man's voice. I think it would have been better if they gave him like a child's voice or some sort of like bibble type voice.
Really, can you imagine like a little baby voice coming out of that disturbing creature? Like, oi, Elena, get on my back and ride me, Elena. No, Lily, there's no good way that Hugh is an okay character. Anyway,
I'm just saying it would be better. He looks like a giant blue baby.
I don't want, no. You've ruined blue babies for me forever, Lily.
He also looks pretty feminine, too, which I think would throw me off because he looks like he has a baby face, but then he also has really long eyelashes.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not bad for guys to have, but in cartoons, like, you know, the difference between Mickey and Minnie Mouse is Minnie has eyelashes, you know. You know, basically. So I think that was also a thing that threw me off. Also that he's, like, pastel colors and has a baby face.
He's just like a cherub. I mean, I'm not saying he looks looking at him, but like you hear that and all of a sudden he's like, hi, I'm Hugh.
He's
for a ride, Bobby.
It feels like he's gonna like buy you a beer. Boy, I'm Hugh. Go down to the pub.
Name's Hugh. The puffball gave me a note from Azura. I'm to keep you safe and take you where you want to go.
His name is Hugh, like as in color, H-U-E, not Hugh, like a man's name. But I feel like Hugh is such an old man's name that it just, it feels weird. And he wears this, like, fur tufted coat. It's just wrong. I guess that's the summation of Hugh.
I mean, yeah, I guess someone likes him. I just saw some fan art. I was like, oh.
I'm going to Wattpad. I'm going to see what I can get.
Oh, I think I just found that fan art you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Is it bad or just, like, weird?
Sexual?
Is it sexual?
Not sexual. Well, no, it's not really sexual. Like,
it's nothing's being shown.
If you
but he's
find
posing
you attractive, go check yourself into a psychiatric ward. I'm just telling you this. Look, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, listeners, but if you look at Hugh and say, yeah, I want me some of that, go get help. Like, go get help. Find Jesus. I don't know, but no, that's bad. Yeah, I'm not going to shame anyone's preferences, but I'm going to shame that.
He's not sexual. He's just in a kind of leaned back. And it's clearly supposed to be like an attractive pose with his arms like askew and he's winking at the moon.
No, I hate that. That's too sexual for Hugh.
Again, he has a baby face and I think that's what makes it so creepy for me. Oh. Okay, so yeah, we covered Hugh, the terrifying happy trolls is what they're called, and Bibble. So our sidekicks are all various levels of disturbing. It's just kind of it's an odd little movie. My favorite parts are when we cut to Laverna and the Guardians and her, like, there's one scene that we cut to where Laverna's, like, got a blackboard out and has drawn, like, her evil plan and is going over it and she's put on her, like, reading glasses. And then Ruby, one of the Guardians, is mad that he's shorter than everyone else, and then so she redraws him with, like, a long neck so he's taller than them.
It's so funny.
Listen up. Once I have all seven Guardians here... Yes, Ruby?
Is that one supposed to be me? Because I'm much taller than any of the other Guardians.
It's true, he is.
Fine. As I was saying...
Now I just look
and
like
it's
a giraffe.
Delightful. And it's also, to me, this is almost like the Empire Strikes Back of the Barbie canon, where it gets a lot darker. Like, we thought that Barbie, Princess and the Pauper had, like, stakes and it's more realistic because there's no magic, but I really felt the stakes in this film, especially at the end. There's a lot of tension. You felt like they're really in danger.
Yeah.
And then I think it was so great that they showed Barbie being tempted to go to the quote-unquote, yeah. I mean, literal, the literal dark side, like the side that's the opposite of light.
The cactus side.
Yeah, I feel yes. I was like, wow, this is like getting kind of biblical, you know, like,
yeah, it took a turn.
A real temptation, like, you know, Satan being like, let me show you all the treasures of the world. I can give it all to you.
True.
And then Jesus being like, no, thanks. Like, no. And then showing up, and I was like, wow, Elena. And like her turning to like Azora, who is like her mentor, who is like, you know, I guess like kind of mentored. They didn't really know each other that well, but like she looked up to her.
In any ways, Topaz was her actual mentor, but she seemed
to not let her down. But anyway, but yeah, just like the moment of like her being tempted and like considering it, but then choosing the greater good and like destroying Laverna's like contraption and like and trusting that she would be okay and she would still be happy without like her wings, even though they were offered to her. So.
Yeah. And then that's my biggest problem with this movie is I immediately negate that message by turning around and giving her wings rather than just having her be happy without them. But that's for the purpose of future films.
And for dolls, because no one wants to buy a fairy doll that has no wings.
And I think it's also kind of just like a reminder that like, you know, or like she wanted what was best for everyone more than she wanted her immediate needs. So like she was still like,
yeah.
Trusting that like everything was going to be okay and like she would still be happy in the life she was in, but she still had that need and that desire and it was then fulfilled. But I do see where it's like, you know, you should be happy with the way you are, and it's like, but never mind, you get wings. But you know, don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it does lead to an interesting conflict, and not to get too much into the next, I mean, it's not the chronologically next movie, but the next Fairytopia movie in Mermaidia, she ends up sacrificing her newly acquired wings to help the mermaids, and with the possibility of being stuck that way forever. So
if she was stuck that way forever, she gets to hang out with Prince Nalu all the time.
But he's so with Nori.
No sacrifice the there. Let me tell you, Prince Nalu, best part of all Fairytopia films. He is a beautiful man with little seaweed, like, sashes and hanging out, living the life. Mm.
He's very charming.
First love of my life, let me tell you.
He's a good character, but I think he ranks pretty low on the scale of attractiveness compared to other Disney.
I just think he's got a lot of charisma. And actually, you know what's interesting? I made a note of this by watching, is the fact that this is like the first one that doesn't really have a love interest. Like, they flirt a little, but Elena's just on her own, which I'm like, pretty cool. Barbie did not, like, you know, feel like there needs to be a dude with her along on this. It's just her doing her thing.
I just want some serious Prince Nalu fan art. Someone
is Lily. Look, I may have drawn that. I don't need this. Wait, Lily,
save that. No, I'll show you guys. It's just like, okay. People have done very detailed illustrations, like Disney style illustrations, and then this very beautiful lifelike painting of Prince Nalu, like as a human merman. A realistic merman.
I think he really, like, there's something about him because he's, like, different because he's a mermaid. So he's almost, you know, he's not real, but he's got the charisma of a real boy.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of Peter Pan.
He's a bad boy, but he's a prince. So, you know, he's got morals and he's doing the good thing. But he seems to be, you know, he's a little bit aloof. He's a player. He hangs out with a lot of mermaids. He's got all the bad boy elements, but wrapped up in a good boy fantastical package. He's a pre-teen's dream.
I mean, pre-teen?
Yeah,
every 5-year-old dream man.
A very pre-teen's dream is that we want someone who's not real and the mermaid.
Well, I like that they add complexity to the relationships. You know, the main character meets a cute guy and they flirt, but they move on. That's something new.
There's one part right after that, like, Nalu leaves, Bibble just go, Bibble, no, you're right. And I don't know why. I just thought that was really funny that's like that one real understandable word he can say is to mock Elena. Like, and then it leads to this question, can he actually speak English and he just chooses not to? And it brings more questions because if he can say Nalu and Elena, then he knows how to say words, which means Bibble is just doing this to mess with their heads. Bibble is an evil deity who seeks destruction, and Elena should not trust him. And I believe if there's a fourth Fairytopia film, this will be what we discuss.
There's like a lot of these.
He didn't say their names, but he like sang the, like, mm-hmm. You know, like kissing in a tree, like
he knows things. He's smarter than he lets on, Alyssa. I think you're pro Bibble, and I don't know if I can trust you. Are you a Bibble lover, Alyssa? Do you love Bibble?
Little Bibble lover.
Direct that to Lily. I am Bibble neutral.
I cannot trust you two, it seems. Seems my friends have betrayed me to the dark side, to the Bibble side. Sorry, podcast listeners, I can no longer be a part of this production knowing the kind of people I'm fraternizing with.
Actually, Elsie, it'd be really funny if you just, like, dropped out of the podcast after this and that was just
canon. I actually meant it.
Wow. Yeah, so I think that's Fairytopia.
We're going to end there.
I mean, do we have anything else to say?
No, nothing else to say.
Not really.
I guess overall, in summation, we could cut this. It's a lot better than I remembered it being, and there were things that actually made me laugh, and a lot of stakes and tension, which I think continued to Mermaidia. So
good, like,
oh, Mermaidia. Oh, cannot wait.
In it were like better than I remembered. Like, I was like, oh, this actually has some good points, but I feel like it for me, it's clouded by all of the creepy animation. Like, the character's not bad. Like, necessarily, Hugh isn't a bad character, but he's so disturbing to look at.
Interesting. Alyssa's also a Hugh apologist. Lots of questions being raised about you, Alyssa.
Hey, as long as she's not a troll apologist.
Then we'd have to completely There's no coming back.
They literally take up 2 minutes of the movie that, you know, could have been saved. They could have saved that part of their budget and not doing that. Yeah, I'm totally anti-Happy Trolls.
Well, that's good.
Oh, and here's some trivia. Happy Trolls were voiced by the same guy who voices Bipple.
This all adds up. The conspiracy is real.
I guess one thing I want to add at the end, we could always move this to a different part, but I just think that, I like that Barbie's not a perfect character. I think some of the reason why I enjoy the side characters and the villains so much more is that Alina's kind of whiny. She's not like the most fun character to hang out with for the first part of the movie. She gets better, but I think that there are a lot more interesting characters in her universe than like just her. So it's a little more engaging. Okay, anyways, I guess it's time to wrap up. Okay. All right, that's our episode of Girls Like You. Make sure to follow us on your choice of podcast hosting platforms or on our anchor.fm page. For any questions, comments, or Barbie movie insights that you think we should have covered in this or any other future episode, email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message on our anchor.fm page. Remember,
do not trust Bibble. At any cost, do not trust Bibble, please.
Yeah, that's about it. Bye.
Bye.